today on Real Radio.
Listen, if you're here right now or if you're watching right now and you're Jewish, your Old Testament prophets, your Old Testament announces that a second covenant must arise. And it would be good enough to not only save the Jew, but the Gentile also. It is absolutely awesome.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Servant Messiah Part 3, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thank you for spending some time with us today. You know, the Book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass. And that is how God will create a new heaven, a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In parts 1 and 2 of Isaiah chapter 49, we saw that the servant Messiah is none other than God's Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus first came to earth, his only purpose was to do God's will by suffering and dying for our sins. Still, Israel refused to believe the scriptures of the ancient prophets and rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior. But it's only when we embrace all scripture that we can only come to one conclusion. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So today, on day 1 of chapter 49, Pastor Jack reminds us that Christ will return to earth as the conquering king. But first, God had to renew his covenant with Israel by gathering the Jews back to their land. Still, they refused to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And now, in his lesson called The Servant Messiah, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I ask you to grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 49. As we're looking at Isaiah 49, we're considering the servant Messiah. The Bible teaches that Jesus, the Messiah, would be the servant, come first as the servant, atonement, the sacrifice for sin. And then, of course, the book of Isaiah will also tell us that Jesus Christ returns in his glorious second coming as the conquering king. And we noticed in our previous studies that Israel, by and large, even at the time of Jesus, even to this very hour, does not recognize the message of the prophet Isaiah. He's one of their great prophets, and yet they do not read the prophet Isaiah chapter 1 all the way to chapter 66. They don't read it in totality. They would know if they read it. They would know if they read their prophets. They predominantly spend their study time and as Jews, and not only the Torah, the first five books. They'll touch on the Psalms and the prophets, but they won't read all of the prophets. By design, by the way. We talked about that last time. Do you remember how the rabbis deliberately leave out chunks of the prophetic Old Testament scriptures because they are screaming about who Jesus Christ is, and you can't miss them if you study Bible prophecy. You can come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you can become born again reading Genesis to Malachi. Did you know that? Did you know the born-again doctrine that Jesus made popular, of course, in John 3 is first spoken of in Jeremiah 31? Did you know that? It's all there. In fact, jot this down if you would by way of introduction tonight as we get into part 3 of our message. Romans 15 verse 4. Romans 15 verse 4, spoken by a good Jew, Paul, to the Romans, the Roman church in Rome, wrote, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures," what scriptures is he talking about? Old Testament, "might have hope." That's what Paul gave to them. Very great statement. Psalm 40, by the way, I'll just give it to you. You won't see it on the screen. Psalm 40 says that the Messiah, of the Messiah, that behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. You might say, well, I read that in Hebrews chapter 10. You read it in Hebrews chapter 10, New Testament, because it's first found in Psalm 40, the Old Testament. Listen, it's been well said by an old scholar so many decades ago, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. Awesome statement, very true. Before we get into this now, John 5, verse 37, Jesus is speaking regarding where we're going tonight, the Old Testament and the New Testament revelation. John 5, 37, Jesus said, And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. Stop right there before we keep reading. Jesus is saying, the Father has already testified of me. How has the Father testified of Jesus? If you were in the crowd and Jesus said that, how would you know that he's speaking correctly? Well, you say, well, it's Jesus. No, that doesn't count. 2,000 years ago, you're hearing Jesus say that for the first time. It is a shocker to a Jewish audience. This is what Jesus is saying. The Father himself who sent me has testified of me, meaning he's given you the Old Testament record of who I am. That's what Jesus meant. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word. What word did they have at the time of Christ? Old Testament. Abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Do you see the mandate that Jesus is laying down? If you would have known the Old Testament, you would have recognized that the Messiah is Jesus Christ standing in right in front of them. Verse 39, you search the scriptures, church, be loud. What scriptures? Old Testament. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which do testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That is an awesome commentary on the validity of the Old Testament scriptures speaking about who the Messiah is. And Isaiah 49, as we've been studying, launches out into this tremendous doctrine. Church, you saw in verses 1 and 2 last time that he performs all of God's will. The servant Messiah must perform the will of God. Number 2, we saw in verses 3 and 4 that he serves all who acknowledge him, that all who will turn to him, Gentile and Jew alike, God would save. We saw in verses 5 through 7 that he regathers his people, that is Israel, from afar. That God says in the last days that one of his great acts will be reassembling his people, Israel, from afar. Now, tonight we jump in and here we go in verses 8 through 9 regarding the servant Messiah. And that is he recovers the earth from its curse. He recovers the earth from its curse. That would mean, if you're a good Bible student, that the millennial doctrine is ahead of us, and you're right by that. Look at verse 8. We ended there last time. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you. We studied that. And in the day of salvation I have helped you. We would ask the question, how? He answers, I will preserve you. This is interesting. And give you as a covenant to the people. Bible students, scholars in the house, jot that down. Look at that verse carefully and we'll move on. But note this, God is speaking through Isaiah regarding the anointed one, the Messiah. And this is what he says. He says, I will help you. Jesus was submitted always to the will of God. He says, I will preserve you. Jesus, listen, Jesus trusted moment by moment like you and I do today. Jesus in human form, we talked about the incarnation last time. That is God become flesh among man. That Jesus learned in his humanity to trust the Father just like you and I have to trust the Father. And he did that for us. He was our forerunner in that capacity among many others. But watch this. This gets so exciting. And he says, I will preserve you and give you as a what? Covenant to the people. Not I'll give a covenant to the people. I will give you as a covenant to the people. So wait a minute. By the time Isaiah speaks regarding the Messiah here in Isaiah 49, the Old Testament had already been given. The first 5 books of Moses was in every synagogue. Wasn't it a covenant that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai? Was that not a covenant? Absolutely. So then what is Isaiah talking about? Listen again, and I want to lay it down lovingly, sarcastically, because I want you to think, especially if you're Jewish tonight, I called you out last week on this. If you're Jewish tonight, God has committed his people to the very word of God. So listen, by the time Isaiah speaks what he is speaking, the inspired word of God without error, he's saying that he's going to give someone as a covenant to his people. So that begs the question, wait a minute, why a second covenant when we already have a covenant with Moses in the Ten Commandments? That would be the question. Did you know that the Old Testament speaks about a second covenant? This is huge. Again, listen, if you're here right now or if you're watching right now and you're Jewish, your Old Testament prophets, your Old Testament announces, the Bible teaches from the Old Testament that a second covenant must arise. It would come by God. It would be not only for his people Israel, but it would do away with the first covenant. And it would be good enough to not only save the Jew, but the Gentile also. It is absolutely awesome. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 1. Read along with me if you would. Look at that. Jeremiah 31, 1. At the same time, says God, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. He's talking about restoration. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel. When I went to give him rest, verse 3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This is God speaking. Look at verse 4. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with tambourines, and you shall go forth in dances, those who rejoice. Verse 5, you shall yet plant vines, and the mountains of Samaria, the planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. In other words, it's going to be very common. Your bounty is going to be amazing. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. He's talking about the millennium that's to come. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Verse 8, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. This is a big deal. All of a sudden, listen, all of a sudden with that verse, Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel many times regarding their upcoming Babylonian captivity that they'll be delivered out of. He will deliver them from Babylon. They will return to Israel. And that happened in history. All of a sudden, verse 8 takes us beyond that temporary returning all the way out when it says, I'll gather my people from the ends of the earth. That never has never happened until about 1885, 1895, in what is known as the Zionist movement. When Jews around the world began to be stirred in their heart by God, miraculously, to go back to Israel, their home, though they had never seen it, though they weren't even born in it. Isn't that amazing? This is something that is of human history, but it was God's doing. And so he goes on, verse 8, among them, the blind and the lame, the women with child, with one who labors with child together, a great throng shall return there. Notice, return. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication, I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Now, God is speaking to the world. And declare it in the isles afar off. And say, this is amazing, listen. And keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Verse 11, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. This is the promise given, and any, or I shouldn't say any, it depends on what books you pick up. They will say, listen, this is important. They will say, yep, God did that with Babylon, and that's it. Be careful when you hear that. God did do that with Israel, bringing them out of Babylon. But the prophecy, read the Bible carefully, the prophecy announces beyond to the ends of the earth, he will draw his people. Read the Bible very, very carefully. Isaiah 31, go down to verse 31. Isaiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a, what? New covenant, a second covenant, a new one with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant, the first one, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Somebody say amen to that. The Jews must experience the second covenant just like you have experienced the second covenant. They have not come to the realization fully to what you already know. And did you know that what I just said was announced in Scripture as prophecy, and it is a historical fact now in this age in which you and I live in, that because the Messiah would be rejected, God had prophesied that the gospel would then go to the ends of the earth, and for a period of time, for these 21 centuries, which I believe is up, I believe we're living on borrowed time right now. I believe that ever since 1948, we've been living on borrowed time, the Gentile world. Why? Because for the first time in human history, Israel as a nation, listen, and the church has been on earth at the same time. That's amazing. And someone might say, and this is one of the arguments, I'm going to spare you buying books and wasting money on books that will just lead you into the shrubs. There are people who will say, nope, Israel doesn't count today. Israel doesn't matter today. What's happening in Israel, their government, the Jew, doesn't count because they're not worshiping God. They're there, but they don't worship the Lord. Many of them are atheists, and that's true. It's weird. You ask them, are you Jewish? Yep. And then you start talking about God, and they say, I don't believe in God. So I said, I thought you were Jewish. I am Jewish. Well, you can't be Jewish unless you believe in God. The word Jew means praise God, to praise God. That's what Jew means. Did you know that? Romans, I'm going off my notes now. This is always dangerous. I'm going from memory now. Romans 2, like around verse 28 and 29, it says that a real Jew is not someone who's been circumcised outwardly in his flesh, but a real Jew is someone who's been circumcised in the inward part of his heart, whose circumcision is not of human hands, but of God's hands, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So who is a Jew in here tonight? All those who praise the Lord, whose hearts have been circumcised. God tells the Jew in Jeremiah 31, your heart has got to be circumcised. You've got to have this faith in your heart, not trust in external performances. And if the first covenant could save you, the Ten Commandments, then why did God say, I've got to give you a second commandment? Isn't it interesting? The first commandment is all based upon man's performance in keeping the law, which nobody can keep. Who says? Jesus said it. You can't keep it. It was never given for man to keep. It was given for man to be condemned. You say, how dare you say that? God said, here's the Ten Commandments, and the day that you break them, here's the animal sacrifice you've got to make an atonement for breaking the Ten Commandments. They cannot save you. 10 rules on stone can't save you. That's why Jesus came. He came and fulfilled all those commands and canceled out the law. He didn't make the law of no effect. Jesus fulfilled the law. Think of it this way. The law was hungry, looking for righteousness, constantly looking for perfection. And it comes and it shines in the face of every person. And it looks you up one side and down the other and it judges you. And listen, the law condemns you because none of us can keep it. You say, well, I can keep most of them. You can keep 9 of them. All you have to do is break one of them. And then Jesus shot everybody down when he said, you know, you're not supposed to commit adultery. And the Pharisees and scribes, we didn't commit any adultery. And Jesus said, have you looked at somebody with lust in your heart? Jesus introduces them to the spirit of the law that transcends the stone. And then God announces in Jeremiah that there'll be a covenant that comes that is all based upon someone. And that someone is singular. It's all based upon Christ. It's all based upon the Messiah. The restoration mission of the Messiah begins with Israel, and it becomes the salvation to the Gentile world. In full agreement with Isaiah and Jeremiah, I wish we had the time to read it, is the prophet Ezekiel. Tonight, here's your homework. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, that's your homework tonight, class. You've got to read Ezekiel chapter 36. Why? Listen up. Listen up, everyone. Ezekiel 36 is the chapter that says that God will bring his people from all the corners of the earth back into their own land a second time, right before the end, and they will come back into the land not believing. Ezekiel 36 says they will return in unbelief. Is that amazing? Today, the critic says, we don't acknowledge Israel because the Jew doesn't worship God. When someone writes or says that or preaches that or tells you that, they expose their ignorance to the Old Testament. God says they're going to come back because I'm going to bring them back, and they're going to come back not even believing. But the Bible tells us that the Ezekiel battle, this is what's epic, because, you know, we could be so close to the Ezekiel battle. It could happen within a matter of days or weeks. The tipping point seems to be Damascus. Isaiah 17, verse 1, Israel is going to get somehow embroiled with what happens in Damascus. Israel is going to suffer tremendously as to what does happen, but Damascus will be completely destroyed. And that seems to be what triggers possibly the Ezekiel 37-38 battle. It's going to happen extremely fast. Some scholars believe that the Ezekiel battle lasts one day based on the reading of Ezekiel. Maybe. All I know is we're really close, because the nations listed in Ezekiel 38 are Russia, Libya, Sudan or North Africa, Turkey, Iran, which is Persia. They're all there. They're all hostile toward Israel. They all want to destroy her tonight. Very interesting. Very awesome is your Bible. Today, Israel is recognized as a nation, as a matter of fact, no matter what anybody might say.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 3. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Now, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you come to him today? It's the perfect time. The Servant Messiah, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.